Toonami's back, bitches.
Took you long enough.
This has been an experience we will never forget.
This ain't no time to go all mushy.
Don't lecture me. I've waited long enough.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 78 of the Toonami Escape Podcast.
Burr, 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 burr.
Yes, that's right. We changed our name because reasons.
Yeah, there were reasons.
If you're listening to this, you almost certainly know what they are, unless you're listening to this in like 5 years, in which case, hello, I don't know why you found this.
Yeah, I think the only people who could know about this episode are people who are reading this in a private Discord channel or who have it still subscribed in their RSS reader, so from their podcast app, yeah.
So you probably know why the name has changed, but for shortening, because we really have to get to the actual block, because we could talk for an hour about the other stuff, we're just going
Too long didn't read.
Reasons.
Yep.
Yeah, we can't have gaff in our name if we're not there.
And we can't have, like, Toonami Gaff no longer exists.
Yeah.
They deleted all those threads, hopefully temporarily. Maybe archive our SAO reactions from episode 24.
At the end of the day, what was previously called the Toonami Gaff community lives on, and it will continue to live on.
Even if it's invisible in the Discord.
Yeah, but it will live on, and these group watches will live on, and our show will live on. We're just going to use this new name, which is disassociated from where we watch. So,
yes. Mm-hmm. Also, I'd like to compliment myself for this new name.
I think it's amazing. It's a great name.
I thought of it, and I was like, oh, shit. This is what it must feel like to be an artistic genius.
Yep. We're in the escape pod, literally, right now.
Like, the absolution has exploded. We may run into the vindication. That might also explode.
And then you can also say, like,
countdown coming November.
You can also say, escape with us to the Toonami Escape Podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Escape to Toonami.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of myself.
All right. Let's get onto the block.
All right. Let's talk about the block. First off, the short news things. There was a music video that was really cool. It was called Outlands, I think.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
I had written down a different name, but I think I was guessing. I thought it was called, like, Just a Dream.
I'm going off the name that Caboose Jr. uploaded it as, so.
Yeah.
It says Outlands music video.
Okay, that's good enough for me.
Did they show up? Did, like, maybe Just a Dream was the title of the song?
It's the last thing that's said.
Oh, yeah, that has nothing to... Remember all those songs when you listen to them on the radio and they repeated one thing over and over again, and then its actual title is something that's never said or is said and you can't understand it? And you're like, what is this song?
Yeah.
That was a really cool music video. I actually haven't watched it since Toonami, so unfortunately, because things happened. Yeah. So.
But I think even cooler, it was a good music video, but I think what was also very cool was the new Totally Immersion event promo.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't understand a lot of what that little claptrap guy was saying.
It wasn't him talking. It was Tom, and he was like over a crackly radio, and like I couldn't make out everything he was saying either, but one of the things he says, it's as if he's talking to Sarah. He says, blow up the ship if you have to.
Oh, yeah. So,
ship may not last.
Like, unsurprisingly, they're probably going to blow up the Vindication and they're going to find a new absolution.
That would be good.
Probably, yeah. I mean, I kind of like the ship, though, but, you know, they got to redo it and whatnot.
Like, basically every year, here's a new Total Immersion event where we blow up the ship.
Yeah. I don't not like the Vindication. I just don't think it's a very cool-looking ship. I was more glad that they just went back into space, frankly.
Right. I was impressed with how big it was.
Yeah.
Because, like, you could sometimes catch like, the former Vindication base on the top and the back, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah, it's more like a Star Destroyer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's fucking huge.
It's straight up like a scanner-looking Star Destroyer. It looked pretty cool, but I can't wait to see what absolution design they come up with, because that's clearly it.
Well, hopefully they do that.
I've been surprised before, because, you know, at the end of the Intruder 1, I was like, I mean, they're not going to go back to a planet base, right? Nope.
That's what I was about to say. I mean, what if they do? That would be kind of meh.
I mean, for a whole year?
I mean, they have stated that these total immersion events now are the reason Reaper. To introduce the block packaging redesign.
Yeah.
And if it's anything like the actual countdown symbol, it's going to look good.
Yeah. Like, I'm not worried about that. I'm just like, you know, I don't want to just cycle between the same thing over and over again.
Also, C-Color, you made up that logo for the podcast, and you're going to have to change it in a few weeks anyway.
That's fine. That's true. Wait. It's not in a few weeks, is it?
I mean, the thing starts November 4th.
Holy crap.
Yeah. And then it's 4 episodes. So basically, enjoy Thanksgiving. Make a new logo.
Yeah. All right. We'll see.
Have fun.
There was also a Samurai Jack, you know, marathon promo.
Yeah.
Watch Samurai Jack, the 5th season, again.
We will not have an episode next week because it's a marathon.
Which is good. We have like two whole weeks to kind of see what happens.
And sort of settle into our hopefully new surroundings.
Like in 2 weeks, we will probably have kind of like a conclusive, this is the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. Is there any other news?
Oh, there's, in addition to the Full Metal Panic game, they're doing three movies covering the first three books. And the new series looks good. Except for the mechs, they're a little CG.
Is Full Metal Panic a show that would ever come to Tsunami?
No, but I like it, and it would fit really well.
They could, if they like it enough, they might decide to open in just like, hey, we're in the middle of Full Metal Panic.
I mean, considering there's three, you know, like, animated movies coming to cover everything from, you know, the start to the new season, they might just decide, okay, we'll show these for a month, and then we'll, you know.
It's mostly just because you wanted to talk about Full Metal Panic.
Yes! I want the new season so badly. I need it in my bones.
Anyway.
Also, the game. I want the game.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I should watch Full Metal Panic sometime.
It is very good. You would like it.
My anime watching, I kind of tried to be like, okay, I'll watch 4 episodes of anime a day.
Yes.
However many I have to take to, you know, keep up with my seasonal stuff and then backlog. Right.
Yeah.
And then this thing happened and I was like, okay, I'm doing the thing I did back when like the Access Hollywood tape and the Steel dossier came out, which is just Control R.
I know, that's basically for days. What I did. Yeah. No, but if you're gonna watch it, watch the dub because it's absolutely fantastic. Up to today it's basically A+ casting.
Is it on streaming?
Yeah.
All of
it? I think I saw it on Crunchyroll, but that's only subtitle.
Crunchyroll has subtitles. Amazon has the dub. And I think Hulu has subtitles too. But they used to have the dub. They might have that.
Hulu did a thing where I tried to subscribe to it to watch The People versus O.J. Simpson, and then it just wouldn't work on Firefox.
Yeah, that sucks.
Hulu itself.
Oh, no. Funimation, I was talking to a guy, definitely has the dub.
Okay.
So,
for all three seasons?
I know for sure the comedy season.
Because I remember somebody saying something about like, oh yeah, they don't have like the first season dubbed.
Oh, that would suck.
So I might just...
You might have to, yeah.
I'm sure it's good either way.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's get into Toonami with Dragon Ball Super. Dragon Ball Super Episode 38, The Sixth Universe's Mightiest Warrior, Engage the Assassin Hit. In this episode, Vegeta is fed to the main bad guy again.
He's always fed to the main bad guy, let's be real.
Like, he's killed a few underlings to demonstrate that he is Vegeta and he's so cool, and then this other dude comes in and whoops him to be like, I'm also extremely cool.
Whoops him so hard.
And maybe have a penis head.
He definitely has a penis head.
Are you mocking Never Miss Hit?
He has a penis head, let's be real.
Absolutely not. I'm not, like, he's pretty cool.
He's got Jotaro's voice, right?
Yes, and also, it's ironic on multiple levels, but we'll get into that in a few months.
Yeah, yes.
So yeah, after he beats Vegeta, of course Goku is freaking sweating for the chance to fight this guy, and mm-hmm. everybody in the thread was just like, Goku's going around calling him hit senpai.
I would not be surprised if he said that in Japanese.
I'm like 90% sure he did.
Yeah,
because like hit's a 1,000-year-old dragon.
Yes, it is a 1,000-year-old dragon.
Like, he's literally 1,000 years old.
It's kind of like the same thing where Agent 47 is like 55.
He ain't 55, let's be real.
Agent 47 subsists on a diet of kale and water. He runs a marathon every 12 hours.
I think Goku's been taking lessons from Kirito, because in this episode he predicted the predictions.
He did. I mean, unlike Kirito, that might come back to bite him in the ass, but who knows?
I was a bit surprised that everyone was immediately like, oh yeah, he's skipping time.
Well, I mean, it's not like they haven't seen it before.
Well, these not from this universe.
No,
I mean, Goldo had a completely different thing. He would hold his breath and stop time, and then he the greatest power in the universe is wasted on Goldo.
Fucking Goldo. I mean, it was basically the same shit.
Yeah, well, Goku didn't know what was going to happen. He just could screw with people when they couldn't move. That's basically it. He has about the equivalent of freezing power.
Yeah.
Right. But in this case, Goku figures out that, hey, if I predict him, I can block where he's going to be.
Yeah. Which, I mean, is cool. But, you know, he's kind of screwing around for most of the fight.
I don't know why Vegeta couldn't figure that out.
Because Vegeta's trash.
Hey, you could say he's a dumb
jobber.
Who is that German-speaking octopus guy?
That's the king of the universe.
Yes. When did he get there? I don't even remember him showing up.
He showed up at the beginning of the tournament. He was like, hello, I'm the king of the universe. And then,
and he literally doesn't matter. I mean, the king of Earth is a blue dog, whatever.
Well, yeah, I clearly get the impression he doesn't matter because he hangs out with Goober. What's his name?
Yeah.
Police guy.
Oh, yeah.
What's his name? Jocko.
Jocko.
Yeah. That,
you love Jocko so much, and you forgot his name.
Yeah, I do like Jocko.
I apologize to Jocko.
Dare you.
I'm sorry, Jocko. You're actually really cool in a dorky sort of Jerry Lewis way.
Jocko is useless.
Or Jerry Lewis, excuse me.
Jerry Lewis is not useless.
Anyway, kind of excited to see this fight. Excited to see how Goku wins, because he can't lose. Yeah. I mean, he can't. It's Dragon Ball.
He could lose and then come back and win.
I mean, so Menaka is not going to be able to do anything, because in this episode it is also revealed that Menaka literally cannot fight.
No, he's completely useless. He's just there for, you know, Goku to, you know.
I don't know why he's there. They've not really revealed.
I think he's just there for numbers, because, Gohan couldn't come.
It's that, and also because it basically leads Goku and Vegeta to be like, man, I gotta keep winning so I can fight him, or something.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, I mean, Goku wants to fight Menaka.
Like, the whole plan is bring in this this clearly ridiculous person and say he's the strongest in the universe.
Yeah.
Even though it's a clear lie, but Goku and Vegeta be like, man, I gotta see this!
I'm pretty sure Vegeta's not falling for it, but Goku 110% is.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
He's just that stupid.
Goku heard fight, and he was like, fight!
Yeah.
Anyway, want to talk about Dragon Ball Z Kai?
Sure.
Dragon Ball Z Kai, the final chapters, episode 137. Gohan located. Intensive training in the world of the Kais. So... I mean, I suppose Goku could not use instant transmission while he was alive, because these are different kind of like planes of existence. But no, finally they figured it out. And Goku is not going to immediately use the telepathy he had the entire time to be like, oh yeah, Gohan's not dead.
Like you'd think he'd, you know, give him a call, be like, hey guys, Gohan's alive and he's training and he's got a really good upper body workout now.
You know? Yeah.
Like he's got pecs and, you know, triceps and other arm muscles.
I appreciated Supreme Kai and Gambito just losing their fucking minds at like, what the fuck? And then Goku picks up the sword. What the fuck? And then Supreme Kai's like, I'm going to throw the hardest thing in the universe at this sword. Oh, yeah. Oh my god, what the fuck? It broke.
A cube of unobtainium.
Well, I mean, technically that thing is supposed to be unbreakable.
Right.
I mean, it's supposed to be able to cut through anything.
And then, of course, Gambito was immediately like, why the fuck you break it?
Like, it's not our fault.
And Gohan's like, hey, it was his idea, racist.
Yeah, seriously. It's always Gohan's fault with that guy.
And then, you know, the old guy that we've been seeing in Super pops out.
Yeah. I mean, it's obvious to me now that obviously that's where the guy came from. He is the sword or something like that. Either he was stuck in the sword or he is the sword. We'll find out.
He was trapped in the sword.
All of that is happening, which, again, like you guys have been predicting for a while now or knew.
Predicting.
Yeah. Well,
we knew this because, like, Super told us this in the first episode.
No. I mean, not that, but the fact that the Z sword is pointless.
Yeah,
because I mean
who could have seen that coming?
I mean, Super literally has Gohan not walking around with the Z sword.
Oh, yeah. Well, okay. Just to be devil's advocate, though, he could have technically beaten Boo with the sword and then the sword disappear or something like that.
Right. And then became an accountant.
Yes. Yeah. But at this point, it's clear that obviously the sword doesn't matter because it's a person and he's probably going to get training or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, what's more important are the scenes with Boo this episode, where he goes around helping a little blind kid.
I literally just remembered about that just now. I was like, I know kid. Boo did some shit in this episode, but a bunch of episodes of Boo doing shit, I can't remember exactly what. Oh my god, he turned that guy into milk and made a blind kid drink him.
Yes.
No, he cured the blind kid first, and then he gave him the milk made out of the person.
Yep.
But it is interesting that we start seeing, like, you know, Boo is very much the horror of childlike innocence.
Yeah.
But then here's the good part of childlike innocence. Like, oh, I'll just heal you from your blindness. Here's some milk.
This is clearly Boo's, like, Frankenstein monster moment.
Yeah.
And then he gives him some milk that was a person.
Yeah. And I'm trying to figure out, did the clothes become the carton and then the person became the milk, or is it some weird combination of the two?
Both. So that guy who is the milk is going to be like, he's drinking half of me! I can't die! I'm a milk carton!
It's so much pain.
And meanwhile, back at Boo's house, like, I'm still a toilet!
I am not imagining that any of these people are sentient once they turn into these objects.
I believe it's that they are.
I hope they are.
Oh my gosh. Where did you know? Are you making that up?
No, I believe it's literally stated later that they are.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure he's right, yeah. I mean, I don't think they're awake for it. I think they're in, like, hibernation or something.
No,
but
they know exactly what's happening to them.
Oh, wow, that sucks.
Like, I think, I guess somebody, when eventually everyone is brought back, they're going to be like, oh man, I got eaten by Boo and it sucked.
Or, like, how is it going to feel for those guys that were made into the toilet?
Yeah.
Apparently, Boo still has that house in Super, and he lives in it with Mr. Satan, and that's...
No. He does not live there with Mr. Satan. They live in his mansion.
They live in the mansion, okay. Yeah.
Somebody said something about, oh, that house is still in Super, and it's like, what the fuck?
No.
But clearly, that's impossible once they use the Dragon Balls, so...
When you guys when you were joking about everybody turning into stuff like the toilet, I was just like, "Yeah, but they don't know it." I mean, they're at that point basically dead.
Yeah, and now it's like I must scream, but I have no mouth.
Yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Oh man, you guys should watch Made in Abyss. Don't. I mean,
probably a bad idea.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, Boo is at one point in this episode, like, the newscaster is like, yes, Boo has killed 2/3 of the human population of Earth.
That's pretty quick.
Okay.
I mean, he's moving really fast, so there ain't a whole lot of humans left.
Like, there's a third left.
That's a lot. That's too many for a guy to be giving a news report.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, it's probably over like a crackling radio and everyone's hiding underground.
Yeah.
Like, no one's in the cities at this point. Everyone's in the woods and they're like hiding under trees and shit.
No, I would like to believe you, but as we were as was illustrated in this episode, there are still cities where people are just going about their daily lives.
I know, which is like, the stupidest fucking thing. It's like, if I hear that, oh, someone's going around eliminating entire cities, I'm like, I'm noping the fuck out to the woods or some shit, you know?
Well, but there was that that farmer guy who was like packing his truck.
Oh yeah, he was bolting.
And he was like immediately recognized Boo, so it's like, oh, well, shit. Geez, I hope Boo decides to quit before he gets to my town. Guess I'll pack my oranges.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, at a certain point, it's like, don't pack so much shit. Grab some food, grab some clothes, bolt.
Find that one friend from work who is a prepper.
Yeah, because there's always that one guy at work who's like, the apocalypse is coming. It's coming.
Yeah. Yeah, I just brought I just bought 10 more whole buckets of non-perishable soup and hoarded them in my basement.
Yeah.
And my kid, I did my daily hurricane drill with my entire family.
Yeah. I mean, you would think they'd be more used to this considering, you know, Cell and the Saiyans and King Piccolo and the Red Ribbon Army. Like their lives are constantly under threat. You'd think there'd be more preppers.
Or they're like, oh, wait, we've literally died 7 million times and always come back to life. Death doesn't matter anymore.
That might actually be what...
Death doesn't matter in Dragon Ball.
It really doesn't, but they don't know that.
There is probably several hundred people, at least, who have died, like, 3 times.
Yeah, but they may not remember probably. It or something. We don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they might have PTSD or something, or, like, amnesia. Okay.
Anyway, shall we move on to JoJo?
Yes.
All right.
JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Stardust Crusaders, Episode 12, The Empress. In this episode, Joseph has a zit.
He does.
A zit that goes, cha-cha-mee-mee!
Cha-mee-mean! Which is just a weird catchphrase that they kept.
Yeah, I don't know why they kept that, but they did. And, you know, whatever.
Yeah, so Nina, the girlfriend of Whole Horse, surprise, surprise, she's a stand user.
I'm shocked for one.
And she has, like, the other half of, like, her stand on her tongue. And, yeah, basically, Joseph, which is a really great episode. Great episode, because it's Joseph-focused. And he's got that thing growing on his arm. It keeps getting bigger and bigger. It's like smack-talking him all the time.
Yep.
It's basically like when I'm fairly sure Terry Crew, one of those Terry Crews Old Spice commercials where he flexes his bicep and it turns into another smaller Terry Crews.
I mean, yeah, that's basically the episode.
And he goes, oh, no!
Oh, no!
Oh, my God!
Hey, we had a Hamon sighting this episode.
We did. He used his powers.
Yeah, he never calls it Hamon, though. He keeps saying overdrive, but the little Cho-Mi-Mi stand did say Hamon.
Well, I mean, I think the overdrive is the name of the attack.
Right, but he used to say, like, Hamon overdrive.
I think he's just a lazy bastard.
Live reporting, Seda said hi. Something's big's happening.
Oh, okay. Oh,
hang on. Oh no, he said hi.
Oh, never mind.
I'll tell you when something's going down. I'll get an announcement.
Okay. Anyway, this is another episode where I was like, "Oh wait, this is actually one of the best episodes of the show."
It was good. I liked it. Mm-hmm. And in typical Joseph standards, he comes up with a brilliant, like, little trickery plan.
Yeah, straight up. Just
yeah.
I fell in the dirt, and then I used my stand to make a map to Coltar. Yep. I'm Joseph Joestar,
which was awesome.
Like, straight up, when that guy's like, there's a perfect map of the city on the ground.
Yeah.
Okay, and then what happened to Nina at the end? Like,
she was really an old woman.
Mouth explodes, and then another woman crawled out of her.
So basically, the stand user was using this younger woman's bought skin.
Oh.
Wearing her skin.
Okay.
It was just like this creepy thing.
Also, Jesus Christ, Polnareff.
he really needs to learn how to turn it off.
I know you're French.
Like, yeah, just chill, dude.
He wasn't as pervy as I was expecting. He was just sort of hitting on her and like being like, this is what you need to do.
Yeah.
But he clearly had, because she ends up hitting on him and he gets a little flustered and he's like, oh my gosh, she's coming on to me.
Right. And then, of course, at the end, that last image where like Joseph just throws the keys into his hair. Remember that Avdol died like 3 episodes ago.
Yeah.
He's been relegated to the good luck remembering him character.
Yeah, it's like the dustbin of history.
And that guy. Remember that guy? Yeah. So what else was in this episode?
Not a whole lot
It was a great episode. We have nothing to talk about.
Yeah, I mean, other than Polnareff constantly trying to hit on her and it was failing.
It was a bit ridiculous when at the beginning of the episode, Joseph was like, yeah, I have this weird face on my arm. I guess I'll go get a doctor to look at it. It's an actual face.
Yeah, seriously. even before it starts talking, it's like, that looks like a face, bro.
What he said was, somebody said it, and he goes, because it wasn't Jonathan, somebody else said, I think it was Polnareff, might have said, that looks a little bit like there's a human face. And it was like Jonathan who goes, stop screwing around. It's like, Joseph, dude, it really, if it was on my arm and it was that big and it had slightly human looking face, I'd be like, holy crap, you're right.
Yeah.
Also that scene where it's like, how did it grab all those fruits and vegetables and a fucking live chicken?
I don't know.
Bullshit.
Where did he keep the chicken? That's where I'm wondering.
I don't know.
Well, he had it covered up.
Yeah, like, but there's not enough space for like a watermelon, two heads of lettuce, several chickens, and a chicken.
A live chicken too, because he had to kill that thing while it was, you know.
She.
It was a she. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of which horror movie this is kind of directly aping off of. There is one I remember where some guy's like trying to fight his own hand.
Well, that happens in Evil Dead 2.
Oh. So tune in next week for his take on, what is it? That Steven Spielberg movie with the evil truck.
The evil truck?
Wait, one of Spielberg's
Maximum Overdrive.
No.
Oh.
It was the thing... Okay, maybe it's something like Christine, but it's also there's also a like one of Spielberg's maybe his second movie is about a guy who has to deal with like some like truck trying to kill him.
There was, I read a short story like that a while back. I mean, that's a pretty old one. So, is the truck following him around and he has no idea who's in the truck?
That's right. You never see who's in the truck.
Yeah, no, that's based on a short story I read.
Yeah. And that's more closer because Christine is just a possessed car.
Yeah.
And this next thing, well, never mind. That's spoilers. Whatever.
Well, it's stand bullshit, you know?
Let's talk about Gundam. Mobile Suit Gundam, Iron-Blooded Orphans, Episode 28, Battle Before Dawn. In this episode, some Gundam bullshit happens when they're like, let's team up with the guys we were fighting last season to fight these pirates, and also the guys we were fighting last season. Mobile Suit Gundam!
Like, it's the stupidest shit, but whatever, I don't care.
It was good. I didn't mind this episode.
Like, I think I figured out why Gjallarhorn is kind of losing power and influence. It's because their command structure is really stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
Like, apparently, like you know how they have the 7 stars, right? Apparently, they each do their own goddamn thing.
Which is stupid.
Up to and including, let's just fight other Gjallarhorn.
Let's just fight each other.
So a lot of this episode was a lot of space battle, so...
Yeah.
It's hard to remember a lot of what happened in this episode because it was just mostly space battles.
Right. It was a space battle episode, so there's nothing really specific. There are two things we need to bring. Mm-hmm. Three. First, the snack break.
Oh, yeah. We get the emergency gyro sandwich delivered by Atra.
Yep. I mean, it makes sense that they would have a snack break, but at the same time, I'm like, it's still kind of silly.
This is ridiculous.
I like it. I mean, hell, for all we know, they were out there for 24 hours fighting. Who knows?
Yeah, or I mean, even a couple of hours is like, you know, okay, you know. Yeah.
And to the show's credit, I mean, using the Ilea Vignana system might drain you, you know.
Yeah. Other thing in this episode, more. Look, the protagonists are killing these slaves.
They are.
Sucks to be them. And the guy, well, I mean, like the pirates, I mean, like, aren't I mean, we evil? We don't let them surrender or give up.
Not that they would anyway, because they're slaves.
They actually use the term human debris.
Again,
oh, I mean, God.
That's the term.
That's what they're called.
That's the specific pronoun. It was so bad.
Oh, speaking of names, we finally got a name for the butterfly eating girl.
Yeah. Julietta
Juris is her name.
I thought it was Jules.
It's Juris. I looked it up. So
somebody loves alliteration.
She and Mikazuki most likely are going to hit it off. Or that sounds wrong. Hit it off. They're going to go head to head next battle.
They're going to fight.
They're going to have a fight boner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of looking forward to it, because they do seem very similar, and I think that their fighting could be interesting, because they're so kind of, you know, non-emotional characters.
Other things in this episode, Meribit is still trying to be like, hey, maybe don't kill yourselves, okay. I guess you're going to do that.
Yeah, she's kind of trying to be the voice of reason, kind of trying to be a motherly figure, but then just these kids are just too gung-ho, I guess.
You know, you could stop at any time. Okay.
No.
And then at the end, we get the mysterious masked man who is like, I'm coming for you, McGillis.
Yes.
Definitely not Galio, though.
No.
Is like, who could this mysterious masked man possibly be?
I don't know.
It's pretty much confirmed, I guess.
Yep.
That's the joke, though, with all these masked men. It's like, literally everyone should immediately know who it is.
Yeah.
I mean, the next thing he's probably going to say is like, I'm not going to let you marry my daughter or my sister.
I am a mysterious masked man.
You don't know who I am.
So mysterious.
You can't marry my sister.
Wait, no, who's your sister? One. Oh.
The other little girl you're trying to marry.
It's hard to keep track.
One thing I do want to say real quick is, one thing I like about this show, too, that's just, I don't know why, but, like, I like hearing Johnny Young Bosch's voice as Orga.
Yeah.
Because I don't think there's another show on the block that has that voice. And so, even though Orga's kind of a boring character, I always like hearing him talk.
Yeah, the age of Johnny Young Bosch has kind of been replaced with the age of Richard Epcar.
A little bit, yeah.
So. Like, going back to a little bit of the second to the masked man stuff. Remember last season where, like, McGillis showed up and was like, I'm Montag, and everyone's like, you're McGillis.
Like, nobody's even like, pretended.
No, I'm Montag. McGillis is some other dude. They're like, yeah, sure, whatever, McGillis.
It's made even worse by the fact that all these guys who wear these masks, it's so obvious that they have to be at least in that faction, because nobody else dresses like that.
I mean, at least Galio is covering his whole face here.
Yeah. I mean, McGillis's thing was just, you know, what the hell are you doing?
Mobile Suit Gundam. Factions fighting themselves and people wearing extremely paper-thin Clark Kent masks.
Yep.
Want to talk about Hunter Hunter?
Yes, please.
Hunter Hunter episode 71, Bargain and Deal. In this episode, Gon is some kind of madman.
He's a crazy person.
He's gone even further beyond.
Kim and Razor both went Super Dodgeball 3.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
That is the title of this episode.
You got
Super
it.
Super Dodgeball 3.
It's true. I mean, they both, like, literally did, like, a Goku kind of maneuver.
I mean, Gon is literally doing a Kamehameha with a dodgeball.
Not literally, but you know.
But it kind of the same-ish motion.
Yeah, it is almost exactly the same.
Except it's a punch instead of a beam, so you know. It's...
it turns the ball into a beam, basically.
Yes, okay, that's fair.
Otherwise, in this episode, they beat Razor because Hisoka's fucking around.
I like the solution, although it felt a little, I don't know, unsatisfactory because it was ultimately Hisoka that wins.
Yeah.
By using bungee gum to stick the ball to Razor so that he couldn't bounce it back.
Basically knock him out of the ring and then stick it to him so he caught it out of the ring.
Right.
Well, I mean, in fairness, like, Gon had sort of, you know, dodged. I say that with air quotes, dodged Razor's thing, so it would have gone out, wound up going out of the ring, and they would have won anyway.
I guess. All I'm saying is that, like...
Yeah, no, I get it.
You kind of wanted Gon to win over this Razor guy, but he only assisted.
I mean, he's not quite good enough to, you know, win by himself yet, but, That's true.
There were several shots of Razor's, like, chiseled from marble ass in this episode.
Seriously.
And his short shorts.
Dude's like, I'm a Greek fucking statue brought to life. He's also a convicted murderer that Gon's father came, like, hey, convicted murderer, my son is a baby right now, but in like 12 years, I want you to fuck him up good. Yeah. Thanks, bro.
Hey, this murderer,
you can wait for 12 years to play a game of dodgeball.
Probably beats being in prison, though.
All I wanted. I am literally in prison for killing people in dodgeball.
Yeah.
I love dodgeball so much.
Way too much.
Yeah, Gon's dad, like, what the
hell?
He's
a crazy person.
What is his... Like,
he needs some chill in him.
He's too chill. Like, he's just... He doesn't care about the safety of his own child.
No, he does not.
He might be an asshole.
I think he is.
Maybe.
Along with Luffy's dad and Naruto's dad.
Well, I mean, Luffy's dad is a little more complicated.
Ironically, Ichigo maybe has the best dad.
I wouldn't go that far. I mean, his dad sort of didn't tell him any important things.
He was just trying to protect him.
Oh, please.
I mean, he's at least around.
Technically.
He wins by default.
Yeah, but
probably
Gene is not going to win any Dad of the Year awards for sure.
No.
He's up there as worst, one of the worst.
I mean, you don't remember when Gon's like, man, if being a hunter is so amazing that it made my dad a shitty dad, I want to be a hunter too.
So he's going to wind up being a shitty dad as well.
I'm kind of fucked up if you haven't guessed by now.
This is true.
The problem with Gon is that he's just too stupid. Like, everybody's telling him his dad's doing this stupid, mean stuff, and Gon is just too, like, I don't know, he's just too, oh, I want to meet my dad. Like, I don't think he gets that his dad's a jerk.
No, he doesn't.
He doesn't really care because he's a weird, amoral weirdo.
Yeah, he's kind of weird.
So after they win at dodgeball, they basically have to go listen to this one, to the quest giver give her big JRPG speech.
Yeah.
Like, and then she just poofs and turns into a car.
The ocean was the treasure all along, poof.
Isn't it so pretty?
You can use this card to break the moon and make the tide change, and it shatters onto your catapult turtle.
What?
Yu-Gi-Oh! Is that shit.
Oh, right.
From back when there were no rules.
Yeah, I was watching that earlier, and it's like, this makes no fucking sense.
I mean, no, it did not.
No. This whole card game is just, like, at this point, I've given up trying to follow any of the rules. I'm just I get the cards, whatever.
Yeah. In fairness, I think the next arc, they actually do introduce rules that make sense.
Like, I had an easier time following the rules of this volleyball game than dodgeball game than the actual rules of the card game.
Yeah.
I mean, the rules of the card game is basically get the cards.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but I mean, like, I guess. But then also it's like, we need to clone this card, and then you can only use this card in this situation and stuff like that.
Right.
So anyway, after they get the card, Genthru calls up and he's like, bitch, I know you got that card.
Yep.
And then...
Oh, Genthru.
Tezger is like, we'll hold him off and die, so you go train.
No. They're not actually going to fight him. Like, I don't think they're that stupid.
They're just going to run.
Yeah.
But they're still going to die.
Probably.
I mean, look at these guys and tell me they weren't born to die.
I mean, they were born to job.
They look like it.
It's like, okay, guys in military uniforms, you clearly try to act cool, but you're going to die.
Yeah.
And let the kid's going to win everything, you're going to die.
Yeah. I'm not looking forward to having the Genthru fight just because Genthru is just, who cares? He's so stupid as an enemy, as a villain.
I mean, Gon is sort of the big, interesting part of the Genthru fight. And, like, how fucking crazy he is.
I don't even think it needs to be said. Because, like, there's nothing interesting about Genthru at all.
No, but Gon is fucking, he's an insane person. Like, literally a fucking insane person.
Yeah. There was one more thing I was going to say, but I guess I can't remember what it was. Just that, like, yeah, I'm just not looking forward to the Genthru stuff. I mean, somebody said I think that there's only like three more episodes or something like that to this arc.
Yeah, the arc is almost done.
Wait, so what happened to the thing with, what about the thing with Bisky?
That's coming up.
Okay, cool, because that's going to be amazing.
It's going to be the best.
Oh, don't say anything,
You have no idea.
Just don't say anything.
I won't, because it's just going to be, the reaction is just so good.
So, anything else about Hunter x Hunter?
Nope.
Let's talk about Lupin the Third. Lupin the Third, Part 4, Episode 17, Lupin's Day Off. Not to be confused with the director of Home Alone movie, Baby's Day Off, which basically has the same plot.
Yeah, this is true.
They've accidentally kidnapped a dog, and now they have to return the dog to a cruise ship in a few hours. And Zenigata, and, you know, they want some sushi, but they're not going to get their sushi.
Because
the dog is a player.
The dog gets it.
It was, like, found in a bush, like, licking a Playboy magazine.
That dog knows what's up.
It's like, hey, what's up forever from that episode of Stardust Crusaders? Let's read Playboy together.
You can probably hang out with Polnareff.
I actually didn't really like this episode that much. It wasn't terrible or bad. It was just it sort of existed. I think the only interesting part about it to me was, like, they had that line in there where they're like, Lupin and not Goemon,
Jigen,
were talking and like trying to have conversation. And then Lupin was like, man, we really don't have anything to talk about outside of jobs, do we?
No, because they have no lives.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I like that aspect of it. It's like they're trying to have an ordinary non-heist related conversation and they can't do it.
No, right. because they don't. They don't do anything outside of trolling Pops and stealing stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Lupin also lusts after Fujiko, but they don't have that in common.
But yeah, other than that, it was just like a weird car trip with a dog, and then they go onto a boat, and then there's a fat woman who's really obnoxious, and that's about it.
Yeah. Oh, the dog gets with the three girls at the end.
I didn't remember anything about this episode.
I mean, that dog he got in a good situation at the end of that. Instead of the fat old lady, he got with the three young girls. So, you know.
Oh, did that happen at the very end? Okay.
Yeah.
The dog was called Josephine. I think it was a girl dog.
And that pulls exactly the thing you think, and it's like, I actually hate this person. Bye.
Yeah,
go back to the hot girls.
That's funny.
Yep.
That was this episode.
Yeah, pretty much.
Lupin the Third is, overall, it's just kind of there.
I mean, it's fun most of the time.
Yeah, I'd say overall, out of all the episodes they've aired, there's been, like, moments that are like, oh, this is really good. But those are, like, pretty few. It's mostly just decent.
Most of the time, I'm just like, I'm mildly entertained, I guess.
Yeah. I would take it over worse, that's for sure.
Yeah, yes. I mean, there's definitely worse. At best, Lupin is hilarious. At worst, it's just kind of there. So, you know.
Yeah.
Speaking of worse, Naruto Shippuden.
Okay, I didn't watch this one.
Naruto Shippuden episode 178, Iruka's decision. The only like important thing about this episode is that it literally just the first chapter of Naruto. It just does that, and then it's like, wait,
didn't we do that?
They can't have this character development now because they have it later.
Yes.
How terrible do these three female ninjas have to be beaten by Naruto and at his, this stage of his life?
They were beaten by Iruka.
I mean, that's still pretty terrible.
But Naruto was like...
Iruka is the guy sentenced to ninja school-like probation.
I mean, he's trash.
You're not good enough to be a real ninja.
So but they gave him ninja school.
Even though this episode was non-memorable story-wise, as often happens in this show, when there's filler, the animators suddenly decide that they're going to put all the effort in the world into it, and it looks really good. And this episode had really good-looking animation.
I mean, I don't understand.
I'm starting to believe that it's deliberate, that they are holding off giving these filler episodes to like specific animators who really want to cut loose because they think that viewers won't want to watch the filler episodes because it's not canon. So this is an incentive to watch it. It's kind of like, oh, it looks so good.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do filler, you got to either make it, you know, interesting or to look at or interesting story-wise, because otherwise people are just going to tune out and it's going to turn into that whole Bleach thing where you get canceled because, you know, your filler is just boring.
Yeah, other than that, it was a filler episode of Naruto Shippuden.
Yeah.
Oh, Slippery When Wet appeared.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there was a bit of stuff. Okay. Okay. Oh, so, yeah, we had the return of Slippery When Wet, Teenage Girl, and Android 16.
Yes, we did. Wait, which one is Teenage Girl again?
I mean, oh, it works both ways.
Yeah, it does.
When I said Slippery When Wet, I was talking about Karen.
That's what I thought. You're horrible.
Remember how we were literally like verifying users in the Discord by just shouting memes at them and being stuck? this is our amazing method of making sure you're not a troll is to hold a gun to your head and be like, "What does sold my wife mean? Tell me."
I don't think I have anything else to talk about Shippuden to you.
No, I don't.
No, no one does.
Outlaw Star. Outlaw Star, Episode 9, A Journey of Adventure. Huh? That's literally the title, A Journey of Adventure with huh question mark at the end of it.
Huh.
In case you were wondering why I'm going, huh?
Huh, okay.
Huh. It's like, I'm Ron Burgundy?
You are.
In this episode, they're in the ship.
Yes. Yeah, Jean's acting like a child.
Yes.
The whole episode, basically.
Well, I mean, they both are.
No. Now, Jim is way more mature than Gene in this episode.
Jim is giving him the silent treatment.
Yeah, but that's just because he's given up at that point.
It's still the silent treatment.
Yeah. What bugged me was that I wanted Gene to learn a freaking lesson, but he basically gets his way at the end.
I forgot everything in this episode.
I'm not going to go through it all, but basically Gene's all happy-go-lucky. He's like, oh, I don't need plans. We don't need to. We'll just wing it. And so then they go and they find this cyborg. They catch it, find out it's not the real person. Suzuka or whatever her name is actually got the real one. So they only got like a real small bounty. But they did get some money. And then for some reason, Vicious from
Yeah, no,
it's
he shows
Vicious
up.
From freaking.
Oh, yeah. I forgot the plot of this episode was let's go catch a bounty and then straight up, like,
just
I can't.
Do Cowboy Bebop.
I think Outlaw Star came after because I know they're both 1998 from Sunrise.
Yes.
And so which one came first? Cowboy Bebop, probably, right?
I would have to look it up. I don't know.
Because this is just Ballad of the Fallen Angels.
It
basically,
is.
Like,
yeah.
Let's go to this stained glass window church and here's some crows.
Here's some crows, and yeah.
You're going to fight a guy in a suit.
They basically went to the same church where Spike fought Vicious.
Yes.
Yes.
Other than
and
that,
it's the best.
I got to say, I'm not feeling the show.
Oh, no,
I'm totally feeling it. It's not on the good episodes yet.
I'm finding myself being like, okay, seriously, when the hell is Aisha coming back?
Tell you, I looked it up because I was tired of waiting.
Uh-huh.
Next episode, she's back.
Oh, yeah. Thank God.
No. I was going to say that for me, the parts of the show I remember all come after, you know, they all start with the space race episodes and everything after that I remember. The stuff before is sort of not memorable at all.
Well, that's happening now, thankfully, so good.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, hopefully it is, in fact, about to get to the good stuff, because since Aisha disappeared from the show, I can't remember anything.
Well, I wonder, are you just tired?
Yeah, partly that, and part it's just,
it might be.
I feel like it's just not very memorable.
Nah, yeah. I guess it's strange, because I can remember more from this than I could from Shippuden, so.
Like, it feels like it's taking too long to, A, gather the crew, and B, like, get into actual space adventures.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's the main complaint. But once it gets into it, it gets pretty good.
Like, Cowboy Bebop is... I mean, hell, Cowboy Bebop only has Cowboy and, you know, Cowboy.
You can't really compare them. I mean, Cowboy Bebop is legendary.
I mean, yeah, it's Cowboy Bebop. What do you want?
The famous main character of Cowboy Bebop, Cowboy Spiegel. And his companion, Jet Bebop.
Oh, yes.
Anyway... Is there anything else about Outlaw Star?
I don't think so.
No, that's about it.
Just a really quick note about Ghost in the Shell, which is back again tonight. Which was back again.
Yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
When they started talking about the refugee thing, I was like, this is way too topical.
It really is.
No. And even the discussion was basically like, yeah, it's time to get those damn refugees out. They're not useful anymore.
Oh.
I do like the look of this show. I mean, I forgot that the second gig looked as good as it did.
Yeah. I mean, she's got actual clothes now, and they look good, so.
She's wearing pants and a shirt now.
Yes. I mean, her tactical gear is still a little skin tight, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it's tactical gear.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all I've got for Ghost in the Shell, because that was, you know... Like most Ghost in the Shell episode, we're not going to talk about it on the podcast, but
no, because we've seen it already, and you should watch it.
That'll probably about do it for this episode of the Toonami Escape Podcast.
Yep,
I almost said the Toonami Gaff Podcast.
Yeah, it's gonna be hard.
It's gonna be
we
so
get used to it.
It's like how Dr. Decimate can't stop saying, you know, Toonami Show Rundown.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, we should mention that you're going to be on that podcast.
I'm moving right from this. To that, and probably maybe in the middle of that, we will get all of our like tickets to the ARC.
Yeah. So, people who listen to this podcast, if you don't subscribe, check out the Toonami Showdown podcast, and
they're on SoundCloud and iTunes.
Yep,
we should get on iTunes.
No, I don't want to be on iTunes. Then I feel like I would have to try.
Oh, like we try as it is, we don't try.
We don't.
No, we really don't.
We really don't at all.
Yeah.
Don't listen to the podcast. We suck. Anyway, that'll do it for this episode of the Toonami Escape Podcast. Thank you, B-Dubs.
Night.
Thank you, C-Kohler.
Take care.
It's been a crazy weekend.
No kidding. It's going to be a crazy week.
Oh, man. We'll see you guys in 2 weeks. For the episode 79 of the Toonami Escape Podcast. Good night, everyone. Later.